You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me. I thought about saying, open your Bibles with me to John 3:16 or something, just to see what everybody's reaction would be. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 2, and of course we'll start with verses 9 and 10. I don't know if it's a record or not, 9 messages in a row based on the same passages of Scripture. And I don't even remember which one. I think it was Brother Austin that said, I'm just going to preach it like it's the first time it's been said here today. But I knew when I was writing this that I would be last in the lineup and intentionally so. And I knew I wanted to bring a recap of sorts, not try to go back through all the other 8 messages, but tie it all together and underscore the importance of seeing Jesus and following Him. And so we take our text from verses 9 and 10, Hebrews chapter 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The angle that I want, the angle that I want to present, and the title that I want to give to you is, I will follow him. And even as I say that, I'd like to say it with great boldness and dedication. I'd like to say it with great conviction and confidence. But I kind of say it more as a prayer, that I would follow him. Seeing Jesus as the captain of our salvation, seeing our need of him, first of all, to be our Savior. Seeing Jesus as the authority over me. He's the captain. He's the leader. The military aspect of it had been brought out through the course of the week. And the captain of the ship taking control and leadership. And that's the thing that hardly anybody wants anymore. I said it earlier, and it's just on my heart. So many times we want a Jesus that'll give us what we want. We want a Jesus that will supply our needs. And again, I don't even remember which preacher that it was said, we will sometimes throw a little shade on the health and wealth guys. And then he said, but our prayer requests are the same. Help me with my bills, and help me with my mortgage, and help me with my health. And we just look to him for the things we want. In contrast to that, the writer of Hebrews is reminding us that he's the captain. He's the leader. He's the chief leader. And it's been brought out that in the 12th chapter, the word is translated author, is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the origin of everything, comes from Christ. And so I wanted to take the theme of the book of Hebrews and delve into that theme, knowing that that would tie a bow on the whole week, hoping that nobody else took the same theme and did it. And nobody's kind of done it exactly the way that the Lord gave it to me. But start with Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews chapter 1. And continue to think about seeing him for who he is. Captain of my salvation. continue to see him as the authority, as the leader, as the one in charge. And read with me the first three verses of Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the captain of my salvation. He is the brightness of the glory of God, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. By his very word, he upholds everything. He doesn't have to run around. I've said this so many times, probably. As a young man, my view of God was an old man, probably somebody my age, and he's running around in heaven, pulling levers and pushing buttons and just trying to keep it all working. That was my view of God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Just the word of his power. And my captain, when he had by himself purged our sins. My captain, the captain of my salvation, purged, according to verse 3, by himself, purged our sins. I'll follow him. Or every time I say that, you remember that that's a prayer of mine. I'll follow him. He purged my sins. He's not only the chief leader, the author, finisher of my faith. He's not only the one in authority, the one in charge. He's not only the one that he's the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory, holding all things together with the word of his power, that he by himself purged our sins. And this is the theme that the author will come back to in chapter 10. After he'd purged our sins, sat down. My captain, the captain of my salvation, purged my sins once and that took care of it. And sat down. That theme will be reestablished in chapter 10. Something that the priest never got to do in the Old Testament. He never got to sit down in the work of the sanctuary because the work was never done. There wasn't a chair. He sat down and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. My captain is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. I'll follow him. You can follow some sports figure. You can follow some politician. You can follow somebody rich and famous. I'll follow him. He's my captain. He has, verse 3, purged, by himself purged our sins. I will stay devoted to him. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We well heard this morning the importance of not letting it slip, not neglecting. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. We were introduced to the one who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person in verse 1. We've been introduced to the word incarnate, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. We've been introduced to the one, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. We've been introduced to him, and in verse 3 of chapter 2 says, how shall we escape, this one that after introducing him, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The salvation provided by this one that by himself hath purged our sins. How could I stop following him? How could I? I'll follow him. Each message dovetailing together and layer upon layer just kept presenting for us more facets, more different shades of meaning and reasons why it is appropriate to follow him and follow him closely and take the more earnest heed. Because the rhetorical question of verse 3 there, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The rhetorical question is, there is no escape if we do not follow the captain of our salvation. There is no salvation without Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if, well, that's a big little word, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. A mark of being his and a mark of following him is that we hold fast. We don't let it slip. We take the words of he who sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we try to digest them. We try to learn them. We try to live them. Right after he talks about holding fast here in verse 6 in chapter 3. And this is the entire theme of the book as I understand the book of Hebrews. The author talking to the Hebrew believers, don't let go. That was brought out in one of the 8 messages. I don't remember who it was. That it was a tough time. And the draw of Judaism to be brought back into that formalism, to be the draw of that. The flesh likes that formalism. The flesh likes that repetitious formalism, especially if there's something in there that makes me feel better about me. The flesh likes that religious activity. And they had been freed from that, and they had been serving the true captain of their salvation, and yet the draw back into Judaism and that formalistic way of religious activity was calling them. And partly because that was kind of what everybody was doing, and there was no headwinds pushing back against that. But if you followed Christ, boy, there were headwinds. You follow Christ, there you were. Well, read chapter 11. Maybe many tortured for following Christ. And the writer of Hebrews to the Hebrew believers, a cheerleader. Don't turn back. Don't let it slip. How shall we escape? Keep following him. He's the captain. He's the author. He's the prince. Don't let go. And right after he says this about holding fast in verse 6, he writes to them and gives them an illustration about not hardening their heart in the day of provocation, verse 15. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit all that came out of Egypt by Moses. And verse 17 talks about it was with them God was grieved 40 years. There were those that had seen all the activity of God and still yet said, We can't take the promised land. We can't. There's no way. And that generation had to wander the wilderness until it was dead. Because they let what they saw slip. They didn't hold fast. They didn't lay hold of the captain of their salvation and say, "He got us out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He made it so that the armies of Pharaoh fell in and drowned. He can lead us through this." Oh no, the 10 spies said, "Did you see how big those people were? We can't go in there. They'll kill us." Oh yeah, it was great. Fruit, land flowing with milk and honey. It's wonderful. But there's termites in there. Amalekites and all the Hivites and Hittites and termites and whateverites they're in. We can't go in there. And God said, "Okay, you're not gonna." And so right after he talks about holding fast in verse 6, he gives them an illustration of what happens when the people don't wander around in the wilderness and die. "No, thank you. By the grace of God, I'll follow him." Verses 12 through 14, he tells us to take heed. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That's pretty bold language. He's encouraging them, yes, but he calls it an evil heart of unbelief in that's at the root of departing from the living God. He's not beating around the bush. Follow him. "And exhort one another, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And isn't sin so very deceitful? Doesn't sin allure God's people? Doesn't sin cause us to draw back? "Let his word slip so that I feel the freedom to pursue this." He called it an evil heart of unbelief. And he warns them not to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. "For we are made partakers of Christ, the captain of our salvation." Somebody said that, Brother Hugin, I think. "Let us in to his rank." He allowed me in his unit. He gave me deliverance. He gave me victory. He gives me leadership. He gives me provision. I'll follow him. No thanks on following someone else. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. The only sure proof that you're a child of God is that you die in faith. You keep walking with him. Brother Bowen and I have been around a while. Others in this room have been around nearly as long in the Lord's kind of church. I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go. And I have to go with the words of John. "If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they were not of us, so they departed from us." And I believe John had on his mind Judas when he said those words. Brethren, follow him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Another familiar theme about Hebrews 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Jesus in the book of Hebrews wears many titles. We see him as the captain of our salvation. We see him in Hebrews 12 as the author and finisher of our salvation. We see him here as the Son of God, our great high priest. Verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. We have that one that stands before God on our behalf and represents us in glory, not a man. The man Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest that which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Not on any merit on our part boldly. Boldly in Christ. Boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Having been on earth, he understands. My captain understands what I need. He's passed from earth into the heavens. He stands before God as my great high priest. He stands as my intercessor, as my mediator. But he stands there with the knowledge of what it is to be a human. Hebrews underscores that very plainly. A human, yet without sin. Brother Gordon mentioned the impeccability of Christ. I believe in the absolute impeccability of Christ. In other words, that there was no way he could have sinned because there's no nature within him to sin. Not just that he didn't, but that he can't. And that one who is impeccable and proved it upon earth has passed into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the majesty of the throne of God. And he represents his people. I'll serve him, right? I'll stay devoted to him. It looks to me like that's the side you need to be on. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And a lot was made out of that through this week, the suffering of Christ. Somebody said that the fact that God became a man and came to earth was cause for suffering. Suffering. If any one of us, and none of us are rich and famous, but if any one of us in an instant had to live in a hog trough, it would be suffering. It would be frankly disgusting. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came to live on this earth with vile, wretched sinners. Must have been humiliating, disgusting, and caused suffering. First of all, the suffering of, this isn't how I designed it. This isn't what I created. Sin has made a mess of what I've created in perfect and in innocence. Verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author. By the way, this author is not the same as Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher. It's a different Greek word. But here, this word author carries with it a very similar meaning, but it's not technically the same word. Author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, he's not talking about a work salvation, but one who has seen him as Lord and Savior of their life and follows them as the captain of their salvation. They strive to obey him. That's the mark of the life. And that mark of obeying him is to follow him. You can't follow him. You can't obey him without following him. To obey him is to follow him. Follow his word. To obey the captain is to listen to the orders that he delivers. And to the best of our ability, carry them out. Saying, yes, sir. Yes, captain. And he is the captain. He is the authority figure. We'll see that in a little bit, Lord willing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. To start with. 6:18, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. The two immutable things, by the way, are his counsel and his oath in verse 17, and that laying hold of that to lay hold of that is to grasp the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, the captain of my salvation, serves to provide hope as he anchors my soul. He keeps my soul from running adrift. My hope is in him, all and totally in him, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil, and that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The captain of our salvation has been again presented to us as our eternal and great high priest. He's gone before. He leads the way. He entered within on our behalf. This captain presented to us in Hebrews chapter 2 is truly one leading the charge. You can tell because of the definition of the word has to do with being an author, the originator. He's leading the charge. He's leading the way. And he's my captain. And by the grace of God, I want to follow him. We have another passage in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. Verse 23 for context, there were truly many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. The human priesthood was marred by a problem. They all died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The God-man hath an unchangeable priesthood, one that continues forever. He's my mediator. He's my representative. And it never changes. He never passes off the scene. And now we got to get a new one. I'll follow him. And he's ever living. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. I'll follow him. He's the captain. He's the chief leader. He's the authority figure. He's by himself purged me from my sins. He's leading in battle. He's representing me before the Father. Find for me in here a downside for following Christ. I'll follow him. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Just another example. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. I'm going to bring this to a bit of a conclusion, a bit of a point. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We have it. The same one who is called the captain of our salvation, he sits in the highest positions of power at the right hand of the throne of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We have no small captain that we're following. Right. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purging of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, or the New Arrangement, the New System. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What we have in following our captain is a secure eternity.
Amen.
I'll follow him. We read in verse 24 that he appeared to God before us. Verse 24, and Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. The tabernacle and the temple was just figures of the heavenly setting. But Christ is entered into, verse 24, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So Christ appeared before God on my behalf. My captain sits at the right hand of God, stands between me and God as a mediator, and all these different descriptions and roles that he's fulfilled to save an unworthy wretch like me. Yeah, I'll follow him. My heart's desire is to stay close to him. I wish I did that better.
Amen.
Hebrews 10. This is where it really gets down to the nitty-gritty of him cheering them on. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13. He's been laying out the credentials for several chapters. Hebrews 10, 12 through 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand, on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He finished the work with a sure victory at hand. He's expecting. We don't see all things under his feet yet, but we see Jesus, who's got all things under his feet. And I'll follow him. And then you get into this "let us" section of chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. Follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us draw near to Him. Let us follow Him. Because, verses 38 and 39, the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, apostatize, stop following. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But the author says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We don't stop following. True believers do not stop following. But we are of them who do not, we're not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. They won't stop following Him. Hebrews 11 gives many examples of many who didn't stop following Him, even though it cost them their lives. Even though they were tortured. Or sometimes even worse, their families were tortured in front of them. And it's graphic, the descriptions of how that they were tortured in this text. And yet, verse 39, these all having obtained a good report through faith, they stuck true and kept following Him. Chapter 12 enters onto the thought, enters into the thought, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's laid out the groundwork for the credentials of our captain. And we tried to just hit an overview of that. He's laid out for us what's provided by the captain. Eternal salvation, anchor for the soul. He's laid out for us what happens if you turn back unto perdition. He's laid out before us the reality that it's not always going to be cakewalk. He's laid out before us that these are examples for us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. The idea of that imagery of laying aside that extra weight that we carry around in this world. No sprinter, no mile runner, no 2 mile runner, no marathon runner throws a bunch of extra weight on him to run the race. How much weight does the average believer today throw on from the world? The stuff that we mire ourselves down in and with. And I'm not even counting the stuff that is grossly immoral. I'm just saying that which is secular. And we can become overburdened down with the secular. And he's warning us not to. Lay it aside. And the sin. And I think the specific sin that he has in mind when he says this is the sin of unbelief that he started all the way back in the beginning. That evil heart of unbelief that I brought to your attention. But any sin, lay it aside, that does so easily beset us, and let us run. Following our captain, following him closely, laying aside the hindrances. As the captain is moving forward, following him closely, As the captain lays in wait and says, okay, now, right now is a time to rest, a time to stop, a time to cease. No, we're not moving forward. We follow him and we stop. We follow the captain's lead. I'll follow him. He's a sure victor. He's the captain of my salvation. I'll follow him. Let's look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That word author has been brought out several times, that it's the same word translated captain in our text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let that soak in. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Here the perfect and spotless and sinless Son of God came and endured contradiction of sinners. What do we think we will endure if we follow him? Any less? Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the lament in the thinking mind is, I don't think I suffer any persecution, so what am I to conclude? Am I not living godly in Christ Jesus? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Follow him. Follow him closely, because chapter 12 ends with a warning. Chapter 12 and the last two verses. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Don't miss that. Lots of folks serve God. It's not the same as serving God acceptably. You and I can do all the right things, do it with a wrong motive, and it's not acceptable before God. Let us have the grace to serve God acceptably. The mark of that will be with reverence and godly fear. Why? For God is a consuming fire. That which is dross and imperfection will be burned up. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, those that built their foundations on wood, hay, and stubble. And it was burnt up. So after having presented to us the qualifications of our captain, the ramifications of not following him, sure destruction. The ramifications of not following him acceptably. What happens when you don't follow the captain acceptably? Disciplinary procedures. Some kind of action will be taken against you. With God's help, let us follow Christ. Commit your life to Christ. Follow him. And the only way you can follow him is obey the word of God and walk in the steps that he has laid before us, laid out before us in his book. Somebody said this week, the instruction manual. You hear 8 messages on the same thing. A lot of it keeps coming in. But by, and only by God's grace, let's follow him. Let's keep following him. Maybe you need to start following him. Never have before, but maybe today. see him as the captain of your salvation and begin to follow him more closely than you ever have seen any need to do. Living under the authority of your captain, being guided by him, being protected by him. And pray that chapter 10 can come into play, and as a church we encourage one another to do that same thing. Let us draw near. Let us consider one another. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves, and continue to follow him as a congregation in unity. But I'll follow him as best that I can.
Amen.
Let's stand.